Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And, it really was a pretty nice day today. And a little brisk this morning, but not too bad. And it's been a pretty good weekend. But I hope you're out and about, or if you're out and about, that you're doing okay on the roads. But if you're home, I hope you'll listen to us here. And remember, we got 2 hours here tonight, so we are a live program. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And we're going to go ahead and start our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program. Use us for your glory this evening. Help us to be a blessing. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us, Lord, to be able to point people that are searching to Christ, to encourage people in their walk with you. And again, Lord, we just want to thank you for the opportunity we have to serve and just bless, use the program for your glory tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. And we had a good day at church today. I just started on our Sunday morning service in the Gospel of John. And I'm excited about the timing of this because at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, I like to preach through books of the Bible. And just went through the book of 2 Peter. And I decided I wanted to go back to the Gospels. We've been in some of the epistles, Paul's writings, and then 1st and 2nd Peter, and I just thought it'd be nice to get back to the epistles. And with the celebration of Christmas, you know, the celebration of the birth of Christ, it was great to be able to get back and be starting in the Gospel of John as we're approaching Christmas and the celebration of Christmas this time of year. So I'm excited about that. We'll touch on some things there with that here in a little bit. But just wanted to mention you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out not only a little bit about me and read some of the articles and stuff that I have there, as well as a link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. You can also listen to past programs all at livewithpastoral.com. And so I encourage you to check us out there. I was going to say, too, I had an opportunity yesterday. So I have to admit, I'm a little tired tonight. It's been a busy few days. We have our Friday night Bible study at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. We have a Bible study every Friday night. It's an informal Bible study from 9 o'clock until, I'm sorry, 7 o'clock till 9 o'clock. I almost went the opposite direction there. But it goes from 7 till 9. That's the official time. But I generally don't get out of there right at 9 o'clock because people talk and everything. And I think Last Friday night, I got home about 11. Now, we also have a Friday afternoon radio program. So Fridays, I usually, earlier in the day, I'm getting ready for the Friday afternoon radio program, which is at 1:30. And it runs 1:30 to 2 o'clock right on this station. And then I come home from there, and usually I maybe have a couple of errands to run and some different things. Then I get ready for our Friday night Bible study. And then I get home from that. And usually on Saturday morning, I look forward to sleeping in, and that I don't always have the luxury. But I said before, I'm a night owl. I'm not a morning person. So when I can sleep in and not have to get up early on Saturday, I like that. It's one of life's little pleasures. But I was asked by Lisa Woods of Medina County Friends and Neighbors, and I know some of our listeners are familiar with McFan. If you're not, it's an excellent organization out in Medina County. I'm not in Medina County myself. I'm in Summit County, and there's a number of people from surrounding counties that come, and they usually have some good top-notch conservative speakers and people addressing different things, usually a couple times a month. And they meet out in Medina. And actually, just to let you know what's coming up in the future, I believe in January, we don't have the date in January, probably about mid-January, Lisa Woods, I hope, will be on the radio with me. And we're going to be talking about not only Medina County Friends and Neighbors, but also talking about Christians and what we can be doing and being a part in some of these conservative movements that we see around. And I think that's a good thing, because if Christians are not involved in these conservative movements and they are purely secular movements without a grounding in the Bible, in a biblical worldview, then it's a problem. You know, like the Bible says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so we need Christians to be involved in these conservative groups. In fact, when you look at the founding of this country and you look at our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence, and you consider the motivations behind the desire for freedom, the desire to declare independence of Great Britain back in the 1700s, you cannot separate that from the biblical worldview that the people here in America had. And it was oftentimes their biblical worldview that prompted them to secede from Great Britain and to fight for the freedom that we have. And the Bible, the Old and New Testaments of the Bible, it's the most referenced, most quoted, most used book in the world that went into the influencing not only of our founding fathers, but in the writing of our Constitution. And even before that, the Declaration of Independence is rooted in scriptural principles. And many of the pastors actually preached sermons in that time on these principles. And so we have them now in the Declaration of Independence, in the Constitution of the United States, in the Bill of Rights, and much of the decision-making of those early founders of our country, the first judges and Supreme Court justices, our first presidents, our first in every capacity, and our first senators, first representatives, many of them were motivated by their biblical worldview. And so to think that you can continue to keep our country and to bring our country back to these conservative roots without Christ, without the Bible, it's a fool's errand. And that's why Christians need to be involved. But unfortunately, a lot of Christians just don't get involved. Some do themselves, but their churches won't get involved. Their pastors won't get involved. And I believe just like back in the 1700s, when pastors were often in the forefront leading their church members to be involved and in the fight for our freedom, we ought to see more pastors involved in the front lines in the fight to restore our freedoms today. And so that's why I got off on that a little bit there, talking about Medina County Friends and Neighbors. I'm always thankful to have the opportunity to go out there. And Lisa Woods asked me to do a little inspirational bit on Christmas and what Christmas means. And so I talked about the shepherds that were spoken to in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm going to talk more about this in the last part of the program. I'm going to look at who these shepherds were exactly. But I mentioned about how the angels appeared to them. And they were essentially ordinary people who received extraordinary news. And they went out and they shared that news with everybody that they came in contact with. And if you think about it, isn't that what we as believers do? We're ordinary people, but we've been given extraordinary news. We have been given the gospel message. We have been given the oracles of God, the scriptures. And they're extraordinary truths, extraordinary things that we see in the scripture. And though we may be ordinary people, we have an extraordinary job in sharing that extraordinary news, that extraordinary message with the world around us. I hope that if you know Christ as your Savior today, that you're taking advantage during this Christmas season as you celebrate Christmas yourself with your family and friends, with your church, to be able to share with others the meaning of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, and to be able to talk about those things and to point people to Christ. You know, he came for the purpose of doing what we celebrate at Easter time, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. He did that to purchase our salvation. So if you know Christ as your Savior, you may come from an ordinary background, but you have received something extremely extraordinary, and I hope you're willing to share that with those around you. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight tonight. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I hope you'll be able to call in tonight if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. Pray for my voice. Like I said, I was up early on Saturday, didn't get a chance to sleep in, and had a great time and just to share some of those things with the group at McFan there, Medina County Friends and Neighbors. And then we had to get ready. We had a Christmas party at our house and with our church and everybody there. And I think the last people left at about I remember sitting outside by the fire at 1:15 this morning. And I still had to get stuff ready for church today. So a little sleep deprived and probably sitting out in the chilly night air there by the fire for a while. My voice is probably a little rough tonight, so pray for me that my voice holds up and we can continue on. And I'm glad to be here and glad for you to listen, and be even gladder if you give us a call tonight with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we have Nancy, who has been patiently waiting. She's our first caller tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. As you know, I had this cough. That's why I didn't come Friday, and I didn't go to church Sunday.
Yeah, I knew you were under weather. We were praying for you.
Thank you very much. My question is thinking about healing, which I am a little better, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. People have been praying for me. I was wondering if there's any scientific studies about anointing someone's head with oil, if it's more effective than just, the praying of true Christians, not these faith healers that are on TV to say, you know, put your hand on the TV.
Right, right.
Dollars and you'll be healed. I mean, true, honest-to-goodness preachers that pray for someone to get healed. Is there any scientific study to prove that, in addition, anointing someone's head with oil would be more effective than just regular praying? I can't say just praying, because praying is very important and very effective. Thank you.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. I don't know if there's any scientific study talking about the anointing of the head with oil. I do know that they have done studies in regards to prayer. They have shown that prayer does have an effect on people. And the interesting thing, and now I know we're talking about Christ and the Bible and the Christian faith, and this may seem, in a sense, out of the area where we're talking, but in some studies, they found that it doesn't matter the faith of the person. You know, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, prayer seems to have an effect. Now, I bring that up because somebody's bound to say, well, they've done the same study in people other than Christians praying. And so I wanted to address that first. There's the psychological aspect of something. You know, a lot of times, I remember when my wife and I were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, a lot of people would go to, we had a hospital there, the Lyndon Johnson Tropical Medical Center, and it was the best that we had, which sometimes was saying a lot, but there were people who would go there for some whatever, and my wife, as an RN, used to volunteer there, and they would joke that it was general malaise that they were suffering from, meaning they were just kind of feeling tired and run down, and they kind of wanted some attention, and so their family would take them to the hospital, and that was kind of the hospital clinic first look at you or for anything just about, because they didn't have doctor's offices around the island. And so the people would come in, and because they went to the hospital, and the joke about general malaise is they just were feeling tired and run down when all they needed maybe was a little rest and maybe some vitamins and things. But they weren't happy unless they got something. And so they would give them something. I remember in the past reading about where people would give out sugar pills. And nothing with any real medicinal value, but yet it would have an effect on them, like a healing effect. And it wasn't because sugar pills or giving them a vitamin or something like that. Vitamins would have more healing, I suppose, than a sugar pill. But the idea was they got something that they were told would help them, and they believed that it would help them. And it was, in a sense, sort of a mental thing. And as a result, they would see some genuine benefit. So I think that's part of what was going on with some of the studies on prayer, in that, you know, regardless of the religion, you know, like I said, Mormon, Christian, Catholic, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, whatever, the fact that somebody was praying for them, I think had that effect. You know,
it does that. Very good effect on me. Quite a few of my friends have been praying.
Yeah, well, now I'm going to come to that. I'm going to come to Christian prayer here in a minute. But what I was trying to say is when people will object to Christian prayer, well, nothing special about that because Muslim prayer do the same thing. It's the mind over matter type thing, you know, mind over body. They think it's going to have an effect. And so like sugar pills.
Okay.
It would make they would feel better, and it would have somewhat of an effect from that aspect. But we do know, looking at prayer, Christian prayer, from a believer, you know, the Bible says that it talks about praying one for another and praying for the sick and the prayer of the righteous man and all of that. And so we do see things where there are people who have been prayed for, where they have had tremendous healing beyond what the doctors would expect. I remember, it was shortly after I came back from the Air Force. I was in a church in the Virginia Beach area, and was in the service, and while I was there, the pastor apparently had been in the hospital, nearly died. He had some heart issues, and they were welcoming him back into the pulpit and from after his healing, and they had there they honored the one heart surgeon that helped take care of him, and I guess this surgeon had actually literally with his fingers, he had literally plugged a hole in this man's heart to keep him alive during the surgery. And just an amazing story. But he said that medically, this pastor should have never lived.
Wow.
And the man wasn't even a believer. He wasn't saved. But he recognized that something supernatural took place, and the pastor attributed it to the prayers of the people in his church and people around the country that knew him, God's people praying for him, and God answered their prayers. Now, you had asked about anointing with oil. Having said all that, I understand there have been things referring to, you know, studies on prayer and the effect of prayer on people, but the idea of oil, I'm not sure about anything, but I do think that it's going to have kind of that effect that, you know, the placebo effect, like the sugar pills do, because it's a very visible thing. But, of course, we also understand as a believer, oil often is used as a type or a representation of the Spirit of God. And so anointing with oil, you know, we're literally looking at the idea of the person having the Spirit of God coming on them and bringing healing and strength to them. And so I think it bolsters in that respect. Myself and another missionary in the Samoan Islands, we had a dengue fever outbreak while we were there. And we all had dengue fever. If anybody's had it, in some parts of the world they call it breakbone fever. And it makes your connective tissue, so all your joints and everything, just hurt and ache. Mm-hmm. And you can take aspirin, you can take Tylenol, you still hurt and ache. And you just got to run its course. And the island was suffering from that. And we had a family that came to our church, and they had a relative that lived nearby. And they, the husband who was responsible for providing for the needs of the family, he drew or drove what was called an Iinga bus. Iinga means family, and it's kind of like the jeepneys in the Philippines. It's like a this built up sort of bus thing on the back of a truck or something, and you're usually painted bright colors and everything, and they got some bench seats in them, and they all have to have huge speakers so you can have big thumping music playing while you're riding around in it. And he would earn money driving this bus, and he would earn money based on the people that he picked up and all. And he was making no money because he was down with dengue fever. And Brother Yingling, the missionary that was with me, and I, we went over to pray for him, and they asked if we would anoint him with oil. Now, I'm not claiming divine healing flowing through our hands or anything, but we went in, and we followed what James said, praying for the elders of the church to come and anoint them with oil, lay hands on them, anoint with oil, and we prayed for him. He could barely sit up for us to do this. He was in such bad shape. And the next day, he was driving his truck. Now, trust me, I've had dengue fever. You don't just get up the next day and think, man, I'm fine. It takes a lot out of you. And actually, it wasn't the next day. It was later that same day he was driving. Now, anything that took place, it was all of God. And this is not the faith healer stuff, you know, lay hands on the television set and all that. But God can and does heal people when he chooses to. And and we don't always know what God's plan is, but at that particular time, he had a reason for it. He wanted to demonstrate to the people in that area that we were truly representatives of God in that area. And so I don't know that the oil had anything more to do with it. I think it was mostly the prayer and putting it into God's hands and allowing God to take care of it. And God had a plan and a purpose for what he did. So,
they're very interesting, and like you say, it's a visible evidence of, you know, we can see the oil on the head, on, you know, being anointed. It's something visible, and it's something like a placebo.
Right.
Sugar pill, and it's something that you take, and it's not just prayer, because some people are probably more, they'll more be affected if it's something visible, even though, I mean, the pastor is giving all glory to God, because God is doing the healing.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, thank you.
I was going to say, too, Nancy, we didn't even use olive oil, because where we were at, we couldn't really find any olive oil. I think we used vegetable oil or canola or corn oil, one of the two.
Oh, okay.
That was the only oil we had. We didn't think he wanted motor oil put on his head, so we...
Well, it's kind of the same visible effect.
Yeah, but it was the outward thing. And
well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Nancy, I'm glad you're feeling better. And, yes, we prayed for you, but I don't know that anybody anointed you with oil. But we give the glory to God that you're doing better. So glad you were able to call tonight.
There is a very good preacher that does anoint with oil, and he's scripturally, well, I think some people know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He is Christian Resistance. But I just wondered... you know, what your take was on. Thank you very much.
Oh, absolutely. And again, thanks for calling tonight. Glad you're feeling better. We praise God for that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God bless, Nancy. We'll talk to you again. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. It's your host, Pastor Al Davis. And we've got Mary Grace calling in tonight. And welcome to the program.
Well, God's blessing.
God bless you as well. Good to hear from you.
Yes, but I am here to testify. I've seen many healings.
Well, and, you know, God is, you know, the things that he can do, we limit God, and I think there's more that God would do if we didn't limit him so much.
We can't look at what we see around us.
Mm-hmm.
And the point is, if we focus on him and him alone,
mm-hmm.
he gives us that part.
Yeah.
And that is really where it is. I've seen many healings, and I've been healed myself.
Oh, and
the Lord has healed me.
And I think any pastor that...
I've been healed. I got in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hit by a drunk driver. But I was in a bad way. And they came from my job to let me go.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because they replaced me and everything. But God had a journey for me to go on. And I went for prayer and healing 3 times in a row at Christ the King. And we had many healings there. Many. And the point is, they did anoint with oil.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always on a Wednesday. These Wednesday services were marvelous. And it was just, to me, wow. Because the Lord did heal me. And he said, let your faith make you whole.
You know, if I did not believe that God could heal people, I would not pray for people to be healed. I mean, it would make no sense, would it?
Oh, hello. You must believe.
I mean, God says to pray for those that are sick, and there's a reason for it. And we see, you know, it happen. You know, I visit people in nursing home, visit people in the hospital, and visit people at home that are ill. And I think just about any pastor that's done that can attest there's been times where they felt led to pray over somebody. And God has worked, just like I was sharing with the gentleman in Samoa. God did something that we didn't do.
It must be recent. It must be recent. Because do you think that the Lord was doing this 2,000 years ago plus, and we're not doing it now?
Well, and it's like Nancy said, though, before, this is different than these people, you know, who sort of make a business out of it, and they kind of are not really... that reliable. They take advantage of people claiming healings and all that.
No,
but we're talking about in, you know, through the local church, through God's ministers, through God's people. It made me think. I remember seeing years ago, and I know we're coming up on the break, this group that they went around teaching people how to heal things. Amongst one of the things they taught people how to heal was male pattern baldness, and the one guy that taught it, he was bald himself.
Oh, God.
And they were on their way back from, I think it was New Zealand, and either the husband or the wife became sick, and rather than go to all the so-called trained faith healers on the airplane with them, they had the pilot and ask, is there a doctor on the airplane? And so, but anyway, thanks for calling in. Hey, we got a break right now, and stay tuned. We got another hour and a half to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll stick with us here this evening. And again, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can not only find out more about me and the show, the program, you can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. You can also see some of the different articles and things that I have written over the years that are there at livewithpastoral.com. And you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and certainly invite you to visit us out there. We just had some information about that at the when we get to 11 o'clock in that time frame. Has some more information, and again, in the 11 o'clock hour. I encourage you to check us out, livewithpastoral.com. Also want to remind you to check out East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. And East Coast Pizza, of course, is right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. I'd give you the address, but my computer died with the address on it. But if I can get it going here, I'll do that. But they are right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And they're kind of tucked back in there. If you're not familiar with that area, there's a barbershop in the front. And then you go around behind the barbershop there and a little parking lot there. And he's tucked back in there in the back there on Turney Road. And as soon as I can get my computer called back up here again, which it is coming up slowly, a friend of mine
who works with computers, said that computers have critical need detectors. The more critical the need that you have for it to work or do something, the more likely it is to break down. It detects that need and says, break down or freeze up now. But you can find, as I said, East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road. And their phone number is 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them right here on Live with Pastor Al. All right, we're going to get back to our program. And we were talking with Mary Grace just before the break, and the break came up on us, and she was wanting to say a little bit more before the break, but we just hit that hard break and had to go to that. And we're back now, and she's back as well, I believe, and still there with us, Mary Grace?
Oh, yes, dear.
Yes, I'm sorry we got you kind of cut off there. When the break comes up, a hard break like that, it just overrides me too. So, we were talking about healing, and I had just talked about how, you know, it's got to be, you know, God's people doing it God's way, not the charlatans and the fakes that give a bad name to it. And I know you know the difference too. So you had another final thought you wanted to say before we got cut off.
Oh, yes. I very much believe in healing services, and it should be in a body. But I've always believed that the sanctuary is the ER. As we come in to the emergency room, we come there looking for God's assistance. And he is there in the midst of his people. The point is, we did everything by God's word, through God's word, with God's word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God and is God. And that is the Logos. But the point is, we need to use it. And the point is, I'm not seeing it being used. I'm seeing people take so lightly to this, but it's not. These are very, very supernatural events. I have seen a little girl put her hand on her mother's back, knowing that she was in so much pain, and everybody in the church saw that this mother was healed, and that's in Jesus' name.
Yeah, well, let me give you a chapter and verse on some of this that we're talking about here. This is James. And James, who's interesting and somewhat underrated, I think one of the writers sometimes that gets overlooked a lot, but in James chapter 5, and as a side note, James is actually the half-brother of Jesus Christ. His mother was Mary, and his father was Joseph. And James writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says in James chapter 5, verse 14, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that is a wonderful passage there. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Of course, we understand man's in the generic sense there. A righteous man, a righteous woman availeth much. And this is why we pray for those that are ill.
And the point is, we should be going out and anointing them. And they should be knowledgeable of God's word. And you should always go in threes.
Well, something else I always want to remind people when we talk about this, especially because there's so much false teaching and so many people who take advantage.
I pray against them, and people need to
realize that sometimes, like Paul had the affliction and a thorn in his flesh, that he prayed three times to be healed of that, and God said no. He said, Paul recognized that it was God's will not to be healed in that case, and God told him that that affliction would keep him humble so that he could be used of God. And we don't always accept that. And another thing that I would say is sometimes healing is ultimate healing where someone passes away and they go into the arms of their Lord and Savior and never to be ill again. And that's a very important aspect of healing that's underappreciated sometimes as well. But Mary Grace, I do have another caller I have to get to.
I just want to get to this one part.
Yes.
If you just be patient for a second. We must believe. And the point is, you don't know why or who, but God does.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be known when you go there. And if you're not, you don't have your eyes on Christ, and it's only about you, it's not going to happen. That's how these charlatans get away.
Right. You're absolutely right.
But true healing comes, and I have seen it. I saw a woman who the Lord had told her to memorize all of Psalm 119, which is very long.
Very long, yes.
And you know what? At the end of that, the Lord totally healed her epilepsy.
You know, and you just brought up an interesting point. Remember the I believe it was the Syrian general or whatever that was told to go down and dip seven times in the River Jordan, and he thought, this is ridiculous. Why should I do that? There's good rivers around here. I could go take a dip in there. Why does that have to be seven times? And his servants basically said, listen, if he'd have told you to go do some great heroic event, you wouldn't have hesitated. Do it. And he wasn't healed until he came up the seventh time. And it was the act of faith, trusting God, that God would do what he promised. Hey, Mary Grace, I want to thank you for calling. If I don't talk to you beforehand, you have a Merry Christmas. And I appreciate you calling tonight.
One more thing.
I need to get to my next caller, so we'll hold that one for another time. And I've got Terry, who's been waiting patiently, and we're going to run out of time for Terry here tonight if I don't get to him. So, Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor L.
Good evening.
It's interesting what you were talking about. You know, the greatest thing that can happen to us is, knowing the Savior as Lord and Savior.
Yes.
As Lord and Savior.
And you know, that's the greatest healing, isn't it? Because it's spiritual healing.
That's
healing,
right,
of our sin sickness.
And once you have that healing, the Lord is not going to take that healing away from you.
No, he puts you in his family. He adopts you in his family. And according to Romans chapter 3, he declares you to be just. He justifies you and puts his righteousness on us. And, you know, he puts his righteousness on us, declares us to be just. He says that we're in his family, and he, as Jesus said, he'll never forsake us, and we'll never perish, and he's given us eternal life. You know, how can you go wrong with that?
You can't. And I was just going to bring up Romans chapter 3. It talks about, you know, once he's got a hold of us, he's never going to let it. Right there it says.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, this is something. There's a lot of people who struggle with this idea. If I put my faith in Christ today, how do I know a year from today I'll still be saved? Well, if it was up to you, if it was up to me, I wouldn't know. I have no guarantee, but it's not up to you, it's not up to me, it's up to God. And like you said, when you read in Romans chapter 3, it tells us here, starting in, let me jump down here into Romans chapter 3, there's a long sentence. If you have a King James Bible, and I use a King James Bible exclusively for quite a variety of reasons, And one of them is that the King James, unlike the modern versions, preserves the long sentence structure. People fail to understand why that's important, because the long sentences, as they keep going, they're not run-on sentences. Just because the philosophy in writing today is shorter, pithier sentences, in times past, longer sentences were the way people wrote, and a sentence could have a number of clauses, but all of those clauses are related to the main topic of the sentence. And when some of these versions shorten these sentences down, they turn supporting clauses into main subjects, and that detracts from the meaning of the passage. And so we have a long sentence that starts in verse number 20. And let me just read this, Romans chapter 3, verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, I'm going to have to correct myself. That was the one sentence. The sentence starts in verse 21. So let me get back here.
That's a good one, too.
Yeah, that's a good one there. But I started one verse too soon, and not to detract from my point. But the long sentence starts in verse 21, and where he says, but now the righteousness of God. And it is good that we read that verse 21st, because he's talking about no flesh being justified in his sight. Talking about the law and everything, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. You can be perfect. You can never break God's law as much as you can, but you're not going to be justified by keeping the law. That's what he said. And that's because earlier he talked about there's none righteous, no, not one, because we have a sin nature. Despite however well behaved we might be, we still have this sin nature. So that's where we begin the long sentence in verse 21, where he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Then there's a semicolon. Next verse, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. And now there's a colon here, not a period. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now here's another semicolon. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here's another colon, now down to verse 25 already. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Here's another semicolon, then verse 26, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And now we have a period. So basically verses 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 is all one long sentence. And we don't want to break these up into separate sentences. We're talking about how we're justified, how we receive the righteousness of God. And part of that is in verse 22, where he says, it's by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. So when we believe, the righteousness of God is literally, he says, placed on us. And then he said in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption is in Christ Jesus. In other words, through nothing that we did, but all it depends on what Christ did. And then after talking about the redemption is in Christ Jesus, that is further described for us as whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. So that's how it works. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, it was set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and that tells where our faith comes in. We believe that he died and shed his blood to pay for our sins. To receive the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, because as far as God's concerned, all our sin is past us now. It's past. It's in the past. And
all
then
things are,
Go ahead. Well, I'm just going to finish in verse 26, the end of the sentence, where he says, after saying all that, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier, him which believeth in Jesus. So we learn from that sentence that our righteousness is actually the righteousness of God that's put on us, and God himself declares us to be justified when we put our faith in Christ, believing that Christ is the payment for our sins. And that's a real quick summation of that that long sentence there, but it does make it clear it's not our righteousness that saves us. It's God's righteousness on us. It's not our works that justify us. It's God through the work of Christ on the cross that justifies us and declares us to be just. And our sins are now, as far as God is concerned, in the past. And people say, well, that's fine for the sins that you had committed before you were saved. But I would ask people who are listening, how many sins had you committed before Jesus died on the cross? And the answer is none. Every single one of your sins that you've ever committed in your life were yet future. So Jesus died to pay for your future sins. So if he died to pay for your future sins, why did they end at the point of your salvation experience, and then your future sins are not paid for? Only your future sins up to that point are paid for, but the future sins after aren't. And that's also a fundamental misunderstanding of God's nature. God is an eternal being. He exists in all times, at all times. The moment that Christ was hanging on the cross, shedding his blood, paying for our sins, is just as real to God as an eternal being that inhabits eternity. It's just as real to him now as this moment is to us. He's not limited by time as we are. And so when Christ died on the cross, every sin that we ever have committed and every sin that we ever will commit was known to God, and Jesus was able to pay for all of them. And so when we were saved, he declared us to be just. He justified us from our sin, sin that's past to us and future to us, all future to Christ, and he put his righteousness on us. And that is the miracle of salvation, isn't it?
Yeah, right there in Romans, right there. That's the gospel.
I mean, it's Romans chapter 3, and that sentence to me is just fascinating. Then when you put it in with the other things in the chapter about, you know, none righteous, no, not one and all, there's no hope except through Christ, because
right. He's the one that gives us that hope.
Right. Our righteousness, the Bible says, is as filthy rags.
Yeah.
Best that we can do amounts to nothing compared to what God expects. And,
I've been going back and forth lately. I've been studying the Torah again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Exodus right now, and you know it talks about the blood sacrifices that they had to do at the altar.
Absolutely,
that only covered their sins. Didn't take away their sins. It only covered their sins for a year.
But you know what? The amazing thing was, even back then when they were doing that. You know, Paul writes in the New Testament that Abraham was justified by faith, because even before the law, you know, during the time of Abraham, during the time of the patriarchs, before Moses and the law, people were still justified by faith, just as we are today. But it was faith in the ultimate sacrifice that would come. And they, you know, Abraham made blood sacrifices, and his father before him did. We see it all the way back to the, you know, Adam and Eve and the situation in the Garden of Eden, blood sacrifices being made. But it all pointed to the coming future sacrifice of the Messiah, who is Jesus Christ. And so when those in the temple, when the temple was built, brought in their sacrifices, and like you said, it was only they had to do it every year. And as these sacrifices took place, what it was literally was an expression of their faith in the coming sacrifice of God's Lamb, the Lamb of God that takes away sin. And
they were just as much sinners then as they are now.
Oh, absolutely. And I believe that they were justified by faith just like we are today, only their faith was in the Messiah to come, And it was demonstrated by their willingness to do those sacrifices, because each one of those sacrifices they knew pictured the coming sacrifice that would be sufficient for all their sin. And, you know, just like Hebrews talks about it, you know, talking about what Jesus did in his sacrifices. Look it over here in Hebrews chapter 10, or I'm sorry, chapter 9, where he said that in verse 27 and 28, as appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Once offered, the blood of those sacrifices had to be shed constantly. But Jesus only had to shed his blood once, right?
What was it, the faith chapter?
The faith chapter in chapter 11, yes, by faith. It starts out, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And by faith, these people looked to what God was going to do in the future. And it's the same thing. By faith, we look back to what Christ accomplished on Calvary. And by faith, we believe that he will keep us until the day of redemption, because he promised to. He said we'll never perish. He gave us eternal life.
I was listening to your affiliate station, and hopefully I'm not getting too off track here, but somebody called in, right, and they were bringing about, you know, how you can lose your salvation. And he brought up, and that's funny, because I was going to bring up this chapter tonight. It's in Luke 17.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about, what I thought was really strange, because I would just read it, and all of a sudden this guy calls in and starts talking about it. Well, he talked about it in a negative way.
And
he says, but at the same time in verse 29, Luke 29,
Luke chapter 17, verse 29, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all?
Yeah, or wait a minute, when Lot, yeah, and his wife looked back.
And she looked back, yeah.
Life, whosoever seeks to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. He was using that as a, you know, saying that, you know, you can lose your salvation because of what Lot's wife did, which you turned into a pillar of salt.
I have my doubts that Lot's wife was saved in the first place, personally, because remember, most of his family, with the exception of his two daughters, all died. It was only Lot and his two daughters. They're the only ones that made it out. And
I was wondering about that myself.
Yeah. So where did Lot get his wife? You know, he's not recorded having a wife until you see him living in Sodom. Lot was a compromised believer, and if you could lose your salvation, you think Lot would have. But, you know, I expect to see Lot in heaven, and despite his moral failures and compromised situation. So, yeah, to use that is a misunderstanding of the scripture. Hey, Terry, I want to thank you. We've got another hour to go, so we're going to be breaking here. So thank you for your call. Stay tuned.